Can you love someone and yet disagree with them? That sounds like an obvious, of course. But this really relates to the most controversial issues in our world today. And you know what? Some people are saying no. Let's find out what the Bible says, and let's decide who is really being hateful. This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children. A very interesting question came up in Bible study this week. I run a Wednesday morning Bible study for women. And I was ready to talk about spiritual warfare out of Ephesians 6. And instead, the question that arose was, if you love someone, don't you have to necessarily approve of their lifestyle? Because if you love someone, you have to embrace all of that's about them, right? The way they are, right? And so it was a very interesting conversation, but I realize it's a very important question. The answer that came to me by the Spirit was, well, I hope it was by the Spirit, was, yeah. Jesus, our model son, something we talked about earlier in the Bible study, when he was brought the woman caught in the act of adultery, what did he do? Did he deny the law? I mean, there was some extenuating circumstances in that situation. Did he start arguing about those? What did he do? Well, the people who were asking me these questions, they could remember that he said, he who has no sin, throw the first stone. Okay. But what did Jesus do? He said, go and sin no more. That's part of the story they couldn't remember. I wonder why. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I know a song about that. So wonderful. Neither do I condemn thee. Precious words divine from the lips of Jesus. Anyway. The point here is that Jesus did not approve of the woman's sin. He even called it sin. Ah, word we can't use today. He gave her the option of a new life. Did Jesus love her? Yes. How could you say Jesus didn't love her? Yes, Jesus loved her. Did Jesus approve of what she had done? No. So there you have an answer. And in our Bible study, a dispute about the meaning of a Greek word came up. It was actually in Ephesians 5 and 7. Don't be partakers with them. And so we found a couple of translations, and it was argued that those two words meant something different, but it wasn't acceptable for me to say, well, let's look up the Greek. But anyway, this morning I was reading in the Greek, and oh wow, I found so much in Ephesians 4 and 5 that related exactly to this question. And so I laid down a track. It took a whole hour, and I think it's brilliant because I know this is a really important question in our culture today. And I say I think the answer is brilliant. It has nothing to do with me. I didn't write Ephesians. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the Greek that I studied. I don't know a bunch of Greek. I know a little. I definitely took classes and I got my A's. But anyway, very little compared to how valuable this is. Thank you that I have the wealth to have a couple of books on my shelf to look this up. And Esau doesn't you know, thank the Lord, it's available. So you can do all of this. All of this, what I do in terms of Greek. You can read the Bible yourself, and you can. There's enough knowledge and wealth in this nation. You can get an interlinear. You can get a Strong's. You can get a Lexicon. You can get eSword free. So, and the other software programs. This is just a standard, basic minimum, and you can get it, and you can find out what God says on these issues, and wow! Is it different from all those other voices? Is it different? I've never heard this preached on. Well, the topic maybe, but gone through the scriptures and applied? No. And so I think this hour teaching out of Ephesians 4 and 5, and of course mentioning John 8, I think this is so important because it's an important question. And Great Shalom is my broadcast ministry. It's aimed at moms and educators helping their children get healing. And originally it was learning disabilities, and that seems not to be the felt need anymore. But we are interested in helping the children learn and helping them have a good life. And that's part of a mother's ministry. And that's a huge ministry. It may be more foundational than the pastor's ministry or the apostles' ministry. Well, maybe not more foundational than the apostles. But anyway, it is similar to pastoring. Mothering is similar to pastoring. So I want to put this on Great Shalom. And then I thought, okay, so I've come to the conclusion that you can love somebody and disagree with them. And that the scripture says not only must you disagree, but you must even tell them. Oh, where do I get that? Okay, it's Ephesians 5 and verse 11. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them or reprove, is the word in King James. Okay, so, yeah, you can disagree and love somebody. Oh, that's a huge newsflash. Okay, but if I were to put this teaching up, even though I haven't particularly named some of the issues, what kind of lifestyle we're talking about, I'm afraid that my Facebook account would be closed down. My YouTube account would be closed down. My iTunes account would be closed down. And if I were using GoDaddy as domain names, they would be closed down. Do you see? So they are in your face saying, if you're going to be loving, you have to agree with everything we do. But if you disagree with them, they shut your business down. It's not just bakeries. So how can I get this word out to you? I mean, all I've done is go over the Bible, read it to you, compare a couple of translations, you know, King James, New American Standard, and Barry Interlinear. That's all I've done. With, I did a quick foray into Bauer's Lexicon and a couple of defining with Strong's. And that's so controversial that I could lose my voice and presumably even my ability to hear the voice of others. And I don't think, okay, so YouTube, that's Google. Facebook, that's another corporation. iTunes, that's the three. So I don't know that there is another. And I guess do you understand? We don't have one single monopoly, but we've got, what is three? An oligarchy? That says you can't speak the truth. And even if it weren't a truth, even if it were just an opinion, it's not a violent one. But their violence, they're harming children. And a lifestyle that's concomitant with other kinds of addictions. But it's in your face. So I'm going to check with my internet service provider, and I believe that I can post it on my own website. Okay, so you can go to greatshalom.org, www.greatshalom.org, greatshalom.org, Christian ministry site, because we're rooted in this scripture. Isaiah 54 and 13, all your offspring shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom. Ah, okay. So, because the word shalom means peace and well-being in Hebrew, because wellness, the English word wellness, doesn't stand up to that. So I used great shalom. Maybe that was bad branding because some people come to it and expect a Jewish site or a messianic site, and it's just a Christian site, with all due respect to, certainly much respect and gratitude to Jews and the tradition of ancient Israel, and with all due respect to my friends who are messianic, that's not what we're doing. Okay, so please come to the website if you're interested in this question. It is an important question. Can you love someone and still disapprove of their lifestyle? Disagree. Well, they want to tell you you cannot, that they will diss you and vilify you as not being loving, when in fact, like a parent who's got a child who's in a life, who has chosen a lifestyle. We need to unpack that. Who's chosen a lifestyle that the parent finds, the parent believes is sinful. Okay, so we've got two opposing opinions. We got that in the society. It's spades. Yes. Can you not love somebody and disagree with them? I would think so. I would think that even in other kinds of situations, it would be a point of maturity to be able to continue to have a relationship with people. And of course, you can love people that you can't have a relationship with. But continuing to have a relationship with people with whom you disagree. Wesley and Whitfield had a sharp disagreement over theology. Now, I, from my perspective, think it was a niggling point because they both adhered to the Articles of the Church of England. But Whitfield was more of a Calvinist, and Wesley had introduced prevenient grace. I don't think that's full-throated Arminianism. But anyway, it was a sharp controversy between these two friends. And finally, they had to say, we will not discuss this anymore. We will discuss the basic grammar school level of the Christian faith, so we don't get into hurtful arguments, because they were going to be friends. They agreed in the major issue of having the Great Awakening, preaching the gospel, and they decided to love one another and not to continue with what for them was a large theological debate. So, of course you can love somebody and not agree with them. And, of course, in this world we have two opposing value sets. And both people may view this as their morality. And so it's a painful thing, I understand. But if you can't be mature enough to be civil, if you can't be mature enough and understand that somebody has an opposing view and you need to actually thoroughly understand it, then you're not that. No. Wisdom is biddable. That means it's willing to consider the other viewpoint. And you need to understand the other one's argument. That doesn't mean that you have to buy it. So, we need to have some fairness. We need to have some civility. We need to stop having people vilified as being hateful when they're being loving. And they're being self-sacrificing. They're very grieved and they're very hurt. And they have put so much into the effort and to the life, usually because it's the parents, usually who are the grieved ones. And then there needs to be some maturity and critical thinking on the young people's part, and to realize that they have chosen a different opinion. Because even if it were true, I haven't seen any scientific evidence that this is inbuilt into DNA. We actually know that DNA can be changed. But even if DNA can't be changed, and even if it's inbuilt into the DNA, and we have no evidence of any of the, either of those two things, then it's still a choice of a lifestyle. So, it's a free country. You, in fact, Western civilization was rooted in the right of conscience. And so, which means godly conscience, how you read the Bible, that's what it meant. It didn't mean you can do anything you want. But we have expanded that into civil rights, freedom of speech, and the envelope has been pushed about freedom of speech in the direction of perversity on purpose. ACLU has argued for years that we need to protect the rights of the least admirable speech. Right? But I think we have been confused. It's like sleight of hand. We're looking at this and forgetting that. So yes, we agree that we should have freedom of speech and that people should be allowed to do lots of things that aren't illegal and don't hurt other people. But we started, but the reason that we have that freedom of speech is because we had biblically oriented people who fought and died, who died first, martyred for centuries, and then eventually in the American Revolution, yes, we fought and died, so that we could have freedom of speech. And freedom of speech is rooted in freedom of religion. And if you don't know that, then you need to study American history. Let me say that again. Freedom of speech is rooted in freedom of religion. Right? Because it's rooted in the history of Western civilization in terms of right of consciousness. You got conscience, right of conscience. So you've got Luther standing before the ecclesiastical authorities and say, here I am, I can do no other. So, because he read the Bible, and therefore he thought that was the right thing to do. So, we believe that people should be able to read the Bible and do the right thing. And we have granted, legally, authority to people who, to do the right thing as far as they see it, until it contravenes the right of others. So, you know, you can't make a church tomorrow of the holy rite of opioids and then take angel dust, I don't know, I'm just making this up, to where all of your adherents become violent and start killing others and call that a religion. So there is some legal limits in legislation and precedent, but we believe in civil rights, absolutely. But it means civil rights for everybody, and you can't take away the civil rights of those who are in the same tradition of the founders. That doesn't make sense. And I can tell you what happens down that road. So let's look at the history of what happened after the Bolshevik Revolution. So the Bolshevik Revolution, Russia, 1917 or so, and they said, oh, we're going to make everybody equal. And the revolution itself wasn't very bloody, you know, just a few people got their heads chopped off. But thereafter, it was a bloodbath because they didn't have freedom of speech or an authority set outside of humans. Same with the Mao Revolution. Yes, unlike Marx's prediction, they didn't overthrow, the workers didn't overthrow a capitalist bourgeois. On the contrary, China was a feudal state, but they overthrew the government and they thereafter had bloodbaths after bloodbath, purges and changes in government, changes in the method and the philosophy of the government. In any case, it was a dictatorship, and even today you do not have free speech. So while we might agree with some of the original aims of trying to eliminate the impoverishment of workers, let's keep an eye on the root of our moral system, or else we will not continue to have freedom of speech or freedom of any kind. I still remember a wonderful sermon, and I wish I knew the man's name, because I was a teenager at the time, and he stood up in a convention. He was a fellow from Chicago, and I believe he was Russian ethnically, but he could speak black. He could speak Ebonics. And he said, Satan will say, come on, let's be cool. Come on, let's be cool. You got to do this or you're not cool. Cool, cool, you're cool. But one day he will turn around and say, you fool. So that's the way Satan works. You enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season and find yourself addicted and pulled down away from everything good, down into the mud pits and down into the pits of hell. Another thing, politically incorrect to say, sin, hell. Repentance and redemption. Ha ha! But I'm saying them. Sin and hell. Repentance and redemption. So here's my story for today. Jesus, when confronted, now he was confronted. They were trying to bully him. They were trying to trip him up, trying to make him look ridiculous. And they said, what should we do? We caught this woman in the act of adultery. The very act. Okay, did he say, where's the guy? Well, you're just trying to set me up. He doodled in the sand. We are not told what he was doodling. Was he writing the sins of those present? Or was he simply waiting to hear from the Lord? Anyway, we're not told. And he stood up and said, let him who has no sin throw the first stone. And they walked away, the oldest first. The oldest first. We humans are very slow learners and stupid at the best of times. But we do learn some things. And we learn. We grow out of crime. We grow out of sexual sins. We grow out of stuff. We grow into a little more responsibility. Anyway, the oldest ones went first. And finally, they all left. No one threw a rock at her. And Jesus, the embodiment of love, said to the woman, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. So did he approve of the sin or of the lifestyle? No, but he gave her a new start. Notice that she stayed around to hear that. Maybe she figured if she ran away, she'd be less safe than if she were in the presence of Jesus. But he told her to go and sin no more. So that's my word for you. You can be loving and you can disagree. And if you will go and read Ephesians 4 and 5, go look at the Greek. You will see that you were supposed to walk in the light as Jesus is the light. And you are not supposed to participate, partner with, partake in, or even approve of the works of darkness. And it's not just black and white. It's light and dark. And so light is stronger than dark, more than white paint is stronger than black paint. So that's the happy news for today. But there's a base note in there. Can't post this on Facebook. Can't post this on YouTube. can't use GoDaddy as an ISP or domain registration. So we need to get out there. We need to awake, arouse ourselves, wake up, and start exercising free speech. Eh? All right. Be blessed. I pray for you. I pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that your heart be turned toward the Lord, and that the light from your mouth, the wisdom from your heart, and the light from your mouth, and the light from your eyes be winsome, that it would turn other people to the light. Help us, Lord, to know more about love. As you are love, we are far from you. You are agape, and we mess up at phileo. We mess up at eros. Lord, help us. Help us. I ask for help and understanding for my listeners. Bless them and bless their children and bless their children's friends. I pray it in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, the perfect Son, the model Son, the Son of love, who gives sinners new starts. In Jesus' name, amen. Come to the website, www.great, like big, G-R-E-A-T, shalom, shalom.org, greatshalom.org. Be blessed. If you would like more on this topic, we have a longer discussion on www.jesusnameaustin.org, www.jesusnameaustin.org. On this site, we also have loaded how to find things in the Bible, and if we have some interest, we will do some Bible study, quick overview of each Bible book, if that's something you're interested in. That's what I've been requested to teach here in Austin, or other topics that are more doctrinal, then ask for that there. JesusNameAustin.org. And if you have some requests on topics to cover here at the Great Shalom, then please write me at info@greatshalom.org. Now, we're dedicated to encouraging parents and educators to have faith for their children's success. So we're mostly talking about learning disabilities and related things here. And so if that's something of interest, you've got something around that, please let us know. We are praying about some major changes here. We feel like the felt needs have changed since we began 10 years ago. And so we are praying about revamping. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, so that's greatshalom.org. Great like big, and shalom is shalom.org, or info@greatshalom.org. Be blessed, and this is Sharon Sarles proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.